Hello, and welcome to episode 4FO Diddly 7 the Rooney Hurricane Neddly Diddly Doodly originally air date December 29th, 1996. Rooney, I'm Jiddly Widdly.
And I'm George Meyer. I was co-executive producer on this episode.
And I'm Bob Anderson, the director of this episode.
Steve Young, the writer.
Now, that's Steve Young. We, every year, at any sitcom is required to give out, I think, two or three freelance episodes. Isn't that correct? I believe it's like a Writers Guild rule or something like that.
Yeah.
But so we really wanted to do this episode about Ned, and we'll talk about it in a second. But of all the people, all the writers we know on Earth, the friendliest, happiest writer we know is Mr. Steve Young, who's a longtime writer for Late Night with David Letterman. And so...
And now Late Show with
Late
David
Show.
Letterman, I should point out.
Yes,
I was happy and friendly back in the 90s.
Steve has the distinction of greatly resembling the first man on the moon, Neil Armstrong. And he talks like him, too.
He has a very pleasing, we will let him talk because he has a very pleasing, soothing, adult-style voice. And he's very clean-cut, and he's a very nice man, and he's also hilarious.
My resume does say very nice man and clean cut, so not much else on it, but I do have that. Are we supposed to talk about the show at some point?
Yeah, I'm desperately tap dancing to fill 22 minutes, but let's go ahead and talk about the show.
I watched it last night. There was lots of funny stuff in it.
I came up with the original idea for this show, which was about Ned's faith being tested, and I borrowed at one of the key story points from my friend Jack Handy, who had a sketch that he always wanted to do on Saturday Night Live. I don't know if he ever did, but the basic idea was a shoemaker gets a big order for shoes that will save his shop, but he can't make them in time. So he goes to sleep distraught, and elves come out in the middle of the night and make all the shoes. And so when he wakes up in the morning, he's delirious with joy until he sees that the shoes are very crappily made. So not only can he not sell them, but all of his inventory is gone too. And then he goes into a storeroom and we hear a single shot. So I kind of borrowed or liberated that idea a little bit for the idea that the neighbors would rebuild Ned's house, only do a very bad job of it. And thought that that could provoke an outburst from Ned.
And that's, I think that's what we hopefully added to is we wanted to explore what made Ned tick and really do actually like, as you've probably seen and will see, it's a sort of deep psychological study of what makes somebody like Ned act like Ned does.
And we really got a great performance from Harry Shearer in this episode because it's hard to have your character behave uncharacteristically, but I think he really nailed it.
Yeah. Oh, and I just want to go back in that scene. Some of these scenes, like the scene of people raiding the Quickie Mart, in part was based on when we all went through the LA riots and everybody went crazy and became super paranoid and raided the supermarkets. And I remember the only thing left in the whole, everyone took every type of bread except for Swedish toast. That's the only type of bread. So that's the homage.
Part Norwegian, I find that particularly delightful.
But that's why there are just cruddy products left.
I was a little surprised when I wrote the idea about the hurricane with the clouds and the music there. And I thought, oh, that won't get on, but I'll write it down. And then it was on.
I love that. That's one of my favorite parts.
This is
Matt Groening, I remember, was in the room and came up with this electrocution joke.
Yeah, that was cool. And it's just exciting to watch a hurricane coming. I mean, it's so primal and fun.
It is, Bob. What were some of the challenges? Of like, there's a lot of amazing things, like rain, but also like leaves blowing. Was it hard to
debris
do
the shutter cycle there with the wind?
My main finger.
I thought this was a great little set piece in the middle of the show, and in fact, I think the show is really one of my favorites. It's just funny from start to finish.
Yeah, mine too, and also because I think of like any character on the show, I sort of relate to Ned the most because I think I'm sort of too nice and like a nice pushover.
Wait a minute. If you're really nice and you're saying I'm extremely nice, am I nicer than you?
That I think we could have a big nice off. you've probably been more consistently nice in your life than
yeah,
me. But I really
some of the dark periods.
Yeah, we've kept our dark periods to ourselves.
Ooh, that's very beautiful cloud work there.
I don't remember a bowling alley being there.
Dear God, this is Marge Simpson. If you stop this hurricane and save our family...
You should listen, if you're listening, go back and listen to just the sound effects as well. There's a lot of amazing sounds that Travis did, especially when Homer's in the eye of a storm. There's like really sort of like distant thunder and stuff. It's really cool to listen to.
Yeah, those layouts were done by Istvan Majoros, one of our brilliant layout guys.
There doesn't seem to be any damage at all. It just goes to show you that everything will work.
Even the treehouse made it through.
Now, I remember there was discussion about the pile of dust on Ned's head.
Vaguely, yeah.
I believe that it was somewhat controversial, because, like, we should add a little, since we don't really have a joke at the end of it, we should at least add a little funny thing. But when we come back, make sure the pile of dust is gone.
Well, his glasses were askew and possibly broken, but then he breaks his glasses later in the thing, too, so a lot of optometry.
Now, that's based on actual hurricane anomalies where, like, boards will get blown for trees and stuff.
Yeah, or a straw will end up skewered through a baseball bat, that kind of thing.
Sweater sleeves are detached yet still on the arm. Yeah, you read about all those things.
You know, it's kind of funny. The only thing that survived...
Now, this story is somewhat... I'm embarrassed to say I don't remember the full story of Job, but it is similar,
well,
yes?
Yeah. Yeah, although I think there's a more... a somewhat different resolution than a mental hospital.
Yeah. Now, that shirt says Butthole Surfers because we were not allowed to say Butthole Surfers because the Fox censor didn't let us say Butthole, but...
They had no problem with surfers, apparently.
No, apparently.
But by golly, first thing tomorrow, we're going to open up the leftorium, and before you know it, we'll be back on our feet.
Down here at Springfield Mall, a storm-addled crowd appears to have turned its rage on the leftorium.
Why are they storm-addled or enraged if nothing else got destroyed?
I know, they just wanted free stuff.
Well, I guess the bowling alley's change of address could be upsetting.
And the Statue of Liberty, is it like a left-handed Statue of Liberty?
I don't know.
A torch left
I would assume you guys wrote that in the script.
Steve, do you remember?
I don't.
Reverend Lovejoy?
He smelled a sandwich.
I remember. I think that was Bill's touch. It seems like a Bill thing. It's like, have him smell the sandwich. Bill likes to smell sandwiches before he eats.
Also, I believe Job was right-handed.
But, Reverend, I need to know, is God punishing me?
Now, Steve, do you want to talk? We were talking before we began about the process of writing a script and also as a freelancer, what it was like. Do you want to say a little about that?
Well, in my case, I knew that I was going to be invited in to write a script, but I didn't know what it would be about. But fortunately, an idea was already half-formed, thanks to George Meyer and his liberation of Jack Handy's idea. So we had a couple paragraphs of, like, the first half of the story up through when, I guess, the house had been rebuilt, but so badly that it just makes Ned get into a further rage. And so then we needed to spend a few days sitting in the writer's room figuring out where does it go from there, and that's where all the stuff about the breakdown in the mental hospital and the therapy, that all developed communally. And I was one of many people who was pitching in refinements and further jokes. And then I went off, took all the material that had been suggested and coalesced it as best I could into an outline, which was then talked through a little bit with George Meyer. And then we, with his notes, I worked up a first draft and... trying wherever I could to put in my own jokes if I thought I had some good ones, but it was a communal process the whole way through. And then after my first draft, it was further refined and revised by the room when I wasn't there. So when it came on, there were many things in it that I recognized and some things that I didn't.
But you did. I remember you had a very high quotient of jokes that stayed the whole way.
Well, there are a few jokes in here that are definitely mine that I'm pleased got through, and plenty of other ones that I thought, well, I wish I'd thought of that, but I didn't.
Now, this is a see, again, it's like Homer. I always like when Homer really means really well, and then, but still. Now, there's Bob Anderson, right? That's you with the ponytail and the white T-shirt, right, Bob?
Yeah, I think that's me.
Oh, and look, there's Neil Armstrong. That's me back
there. That fellow standing behind that does look a little like Steve.
Well, the house really does look quite excellent from the first few shots.
The first floor is not bad. And then it becomes a fun house. The first little crack in the dike.
Here it comes.
Your beautiful kitchen.
Now, Ned already starts off pretty testily. It's true. Yeah, I love that. I think this is a really great idea, and I don't know why people don't do it. You could put up like a privacy screen, and it's a good idea anyway.
I think we had some part in the script that didn't come through to the end about, well, my family is very open about our bodily functions and trying to justify it.
I love that phrase, load-bearing poster, I think.
Yeah.
I love the electricity room, too.
It has too much electricity, so I don't know, you might want to wear a hat.
Uh-huh. Floor feels a little gritty here.
Yeah, we ran out of floorboards there, so we painted the dirt. Pretty clever.
Now, this is based on Willy Wonka, the original Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, where they go into a crazy room to get smaller and smaller.
Ah, yeah.
Ow, my nose. Well, I've seen about enough.
So, Flanders, what do you think of the house that Love built?
Now, I remember there was also debate because we originally wanted, someone suggested, it might have been me, and it was probably pretty stupid, that Grandpa would be in a bathtub.
Yeah.
Taking a bath.
And the pipes would be still supporting this lone bathtub.
It's a comical convention that a bathtub and a man in a...
A big scrub brush. Of course. Page 83 of the comedy manual.
I think we decided that we didn't need it at that point.
Yeah.
Now, this performance and the writing of Ned's breakdown is really great.
Well, my family and I can't live in good intentions.
And he really points out every, correctly, he's very incisive about what's wrong with each of these people.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me of the Frank Grimes show where he's pointing out all the foibles of Springfield.
You better learn for your adult years. Hey, buddy.
Homer's enemy, I mean.
Yeah.
I am shocked and appalled.
Mr. Flanders, with all due respect, Bart didn't do anything.
Do I hear the sound of butting in? It's got to be little Lisa Simpson, Springfield's answer to a question no one asked!
I remember we all spent a lot of time getting these just right, our criticisms of our own characters. And there's also, you'll see, there's a deleted scene where Ned attacks Milhouse as well. That unfortunately had to go because of a length, but it's only like 5 seconds, but it's really funny. So you can push the button when you see it.
What's going on? You ugly, hate-filled man.
Hey, I may be ugly and hate-filled, but I, what was the third thing you said?
Everybody in the background looks very mournful and beaten down. They're all feeling guilty.
It's similar to in the Frank Grimes show when somebody goes crazy. It's sort of very realistic where everyone's sort of shocked and sad and doesn't know what to do.
Well, where are you going?
I thought this was cool and inspired.
Yeah, we loved it because we didn't want to have, like, crazy music, and it's sort of so oddly calm.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
I like how his hair is just a little bit frazzled.
That's right, because it's like when somebody's going crazy, they're not raving, it's that odd calm.
Calmwood.
And it's very uneasy.
I remember Dan Graney came up with the name Calmwood in the room.
It's very soothing.
And we had a prison that was Morningwood, as I recall.
Oh, looks like a nice place. Good file keeping there.
Very well. Shall I show you to your room, or would you prefer to be dragged off kicking and screaming?
Of course, we have a strong preference for the old school take on things.
Mm-hmm.
Mental institutions with attendants in white coats,
right.
Rubber rooms, straight jackets, of course.
If you're watching this in a present day mental hospital, forgive us.
But now he opted for kicking and screaming, and he screamed, but he didn't kick. Was that
right.
A mistake?
I noticed that last night.
Yeah, I noticed that too. I didn't catch that in the first time.
See, the explanation is he's crazy. I love Dr. Foster's voice, which is great, which is Hank.
I believe I came up with the name Dr. Foster just at random, thinking of the nursery rhyme, Dr. Foster Went to Gloucester.
Oh, right.
Oh, I was wondering. That's neat.
May God have mercy on us all.
I think that was a reference to Halloween, right? That Michael Myers had escaped, you know, his psychiatrist.
Oh, was it?
I remember talking about that. For some reason, he doesn't buckle the straps. I guess it's just kind of a wrap.
It's casual Friday.
Yeah.
You may remember we spent some time together.
Now, I really like this aspect of a story where it's a piece of someone's past that you never knew about, but then when it all comes together, it sort of makes sense.
Yeah. I like the effect of making it look old and scratchy. That's a good detail.
Yeah, so Bob, when you guys do these old black and white films, you do it in color, and then you filter it, or you do it in black and white?
No, actually, things get colored in black and white.
I can't believe I was such a...
Now, are any of those kids supposed to be recognizable as future characters in the show, other than Ned?
Not that I remember.
Yeah, that would have been neat, but
that would have been a good idea.
I think in an earlier version of the script, there was a Chief Wiggum as a child who, when some other kid appealed for help, stop that mean kid. That's not my problem.
Oh, I'm sorry we didn't listen to you. That.
Well, you have to cut a lot out to make it fit these, 22 minutes?
That's right, especially stories like this. By the way, I love these designs of Ned's dad and mom, and also the early Dr. Foster are really cool.
I think he's wearing the same glasses.
This was the second time we saw them. The sweet scene where Skinner's badass.
That's right, it's one of our episodes, yes, that we determined they were beatniks. And it sort of does, it explains it psychologically. I also love the designs of the office and everything, very, very 50s.
That's got to be one of my favorite lines. We've tried nothing and we're all out of ideas.
Now, the Minnesota Spankological Protocol is based somewhat on the Minnesota Multiphasic Psychological Test that every employer does. And what's a very it's still a controversial thing that people think enforces groupthink and that sort of thing, but this was sort of our expose of the bad psychological treatments of the 50s that no one does anymore.
About me, pretty darn diddly doodly good.
Is he wearing the same tie that he wore 40 years later? Yep, there he is. And the same glasses.
From that point on, any time you felt angry, you could only respond with a string of nonsensical jabbering.
Well, I'll be darn diddly aren't.
Yeah, that's
a little self-conscious.
I think at some point, too, someone has suggested a much more idly-diddly profanity that, that would not have made it in, but would have been funny.
I'm here to help, you know. Now, I'd like to try something. Is there any person who makes you particularly angry?
Yellow? Yes? Mental hospital.
that's one of my favorite things, and I can't explain why.
Elmer doesn't remember.
So
the sane stickers. That was one of my favorite jokes that made it through. So
I wish someone had issued actual sane stickers.
Just remember, one of our patients is a cannibal. Try to guess which one. I think you'll be pleasantly surprised.
That's our little reference to the tendency of sitcoms to bring the entire family.
Anywhere we go. There's Schwartzwelder. He doesn't want to appear in this episode either, or on the commentaries. And there's Jay Sherman, of course, from The Critic.
Everything stinks.
Of course, The Critic was created by Al Jean and Mike Reiss.
Right, who are our heroes, the guys who hired us and are hilarious. And was The Critic still on the air at this time?
I think it had been recently canceled, and that's why that's what happened to the character.
Well, anyway, if you have a chance, buy The Critic on DVD. It's hilarious. I love
sound effect.
Both the sound effect and the sliding, the animation, make the jokes. Make this work.
Proceed to level 2 antagonism.
It's so silly. The stuff with the button.
Now, was this some protocol from some state other than Minnesota, or we don't know where?
I don't know what state.
Some upper Midwest, maybe the upper peninsula of Michigan.
I also like Homer's blank look before he says it.
Now that's psychiatry. Huh? Huh?
Very funny, wise guy.
Now, the phrase very funny, wise guy was based on someone who worked on the show who was always saying to various writers, very funny, wise guy. Because they were wise guys.
John Swartzwelder used to say that in advertising, they're always using that phrase, very funny. And it's a horrible, deflating thing to say. It's never funny, and it just takes the life out of anything.
Did you like it?
Now, that's an off-quoted line. Did you write that? Did you like it? It's something that we often said afterwards about things we wrote or claimed to write.
What about fluorescent lights?
Ooh, they hum like angels. You're never lonely if you got a fluorescent light.
See? Now that's a completely insane line.
Right, now this whole sequence here, I remember we spent many hours trying to write this. And it's pretty crazy, but at least it gets him to the point that he needs to get to.
You might even say, I hate the post office. That and my parents. Lousy beatniks.
It's so, because it's like a very, that's a believable, he, the breakthrough, he got there. Hooray for Ned.
And the stinging indictment of lax parenting style.
I love Flandy's
thing. Everybody seems to have forgiven him.
And then free John Swartzwelder is glimpsed at the end of that.
That's
band.
Right.
If any of you does something I don't like, you are going to hear about it.
Yes, that's very...
And then this somewhat unnerving last note.
I'm going to run you down with my car.
While playing Hawaiian music.
I remember there were some even harsher things pitched, but I think that's just the right tone, because crazy people do run people down with cars, unfortunately.
Well, then that happened yesterday in the news, didn't it?
Yeah. And on that note,
it's deplorable. Well, it's a current events lecture as well as a glimpse into backstage at entertainment.
But that is a wonderful episode, and thank you, George, for coming up with it, and Steve for writing it. It really is.
It was my pleasure. I recall that time very fondly.
Us too. And it's many people's favorite episode.
And Bob and the animators did a tremendous job also.
Yes, hurrah for all.
Well, thanks for giving us some great material to work with.
I'm sure it's what happens every day.
We're now in the winding down phase of the voiceover.
We're just self-congratulatory and sort of afterglow.
This is the time for you to start looking for the DVD.